lot of us have been out celebrating Mother's Day already. We've had breakfast in bed. We've had cards. I was looking at a few cards that were floating around, that were going out around the community. Here's one card a mother got. Happy Mother's Day, Mum. Sorry about the stretch marks. Here's another one. All I want for Mother's Day is for someone to follow me around, picking up after me, feeding me snacks, pouring me drinks, and insisting I take a nap. Basically, I want to be my kid for the day. Mum, I'm sorry for all the dumb stuff I did when I was younger. If it helps, you only know half of it. And another brazen young man said, being your favourite child seems gift enough. So there's some funny stuff goes out there. But I think, you know, in all our celebrations, some of us are going to the movies, out for lunch, flowers, walks in the park, all the different things we do to celebrate Mother's Day. But right now, we're celebrating Mother's Day in church. And that's really significant because one of the things we do when we come to church is we really honour our mothers because usually they have prayed significantly for us over our lives. Is that right? And we want to respect the fact that they pray so genuinely. No one will pray for you like your mother will pray for you. On your good days, your bad days, your ugly days, and every day in between, she will pray for you. Perhaps your dad might just match that a few notches as well. So I think church is a great place to honour that special thing that mothers do. When you are sometimes out of their reach and you think mums pray because worrying just doesn't really work, does it? We've all tried that. And how many kids say, Mum, stop worrying? But it's great that we've found a way to just talk to God that helps us always keep a big picture perspective on our children, our families and communities. So even when we could worry, we like pull back and say, God, I'm just going to talk to you about this. Because you love my child more than I do. And that's saying something, isn't it? And love believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And let's take a look at that scripture this morning in Corinthians. I'd love you to get your Bible out today because we're in church celebrating Mother's Day. We're looking at 1 Corinthians 13. I mean, this is the classic description of love. And, you know, with all our shows on telly about first dates and married at first sight and all these different things, I don't read many places in the Bible where it talks about love being a feeling or an infatuation. It's always referring to it as character. It's where the rubber meets the road. If you'd like to follow, I'm reading for the Message Bible. If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't have love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that seems to move mountains, make them jump, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. It's talking about character. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't have love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, or what I do, I am bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for itself. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. It's not proud. It doesn't have a swelled head. It doesn't force itself on others. It's not always me first. It doesn't fly off the handle to get its own way. It doesn't keep score of the sins of others. Hey, how good are mothers at that? They just quickly forgive and forget, don't they? Don't revel when others grovel. They take pleasure in the flowering of truth. They put up with anything. Trust God always. Always look for the best. Never look back. but keep going to the end. And it goes on about how love never fails and what an amazing capacity it has and how God rewards it more than anything else. And then it goes on in chapter 14 and it talks about prayer and how prayer is so powerful. So when you've got that foundation of love, it really motivates you to pray. So today, I would love to affirm in your hearts as a family the value of humility, respect, and love. They tend to grow in that order, don't they? Humility, respect, and love. I was just reflecting the other day, and it's talking about we give birth to babies, natural and spiritual, who take a lifetime to grow and fully mature. Likewise, marriages and friendships mature over many years. In the same way, we are not all born with the full capacity and character to characterize love. We have to learn it, and it takes time, and it takes community. Yeah. The mothers are pretty patient like that, aren't they? And as a community, being patient with each other and loving towards each other is just so important. I think of two women in Scripture that are probably significant mums for all of us today. And, gee, if I could get my story in the Cairns Post, I'd be pretty chuffed. I'd think, wow, that's a massive achievement. But these girls, Eve and Mary, their stories are written in a book of history that spans 4,000 years plus. So I think they're pretty significant, and maybe we could just take a little look at them today. In Genesis, I won't open the scriptures, but I just think it's a reflection of women in general as mothers, because we don't always get it right, do we? Our kids don't get it right every time. Our husbands don't get it. Our family, we don't always get it right. But love keeps pursuing, keeps persisting, keeps believing. And Eve and Mary are just such great examples of this. So Eve's often depicted as the deceived, temptress who was not a good example of being a woman. But when I read the story, I don't see that. I see an incredible woman. And there's one little glimpse into that when Adam and Eve have realized their bad choice, and both of them failed to respond correctly when it came to making a significant choice. And there they were, and we see the human blame and shame game begin between the sexes, don't we? They're blaming each other to the nth degree, and we see that constantly happening. But in that moment, Adam stops and turns to Eve and says, "Mother of all living." He gives her a new name. He calls her Eve. Adam actually gives her this new name, Eve, which means mother of all living. I just think that's profound. And then it goes on and says, "And each child she bears, she lifts up to the Lord and says, 'Oh, God, I'm so blessed. You have helped me. I have received a child from you. How blessed am I?'" And she would hold each child up. And if you look at the names of each of those children, they actually help you to see the whole human history, whole spans and plan of God over humanity. So that's if you like a little bit more depth, that's an interesting study. But here is Eve. She doesn't really know everything that's going to unfold, but she knows in the moment that God has been so good to her. And despite the situation they found themselves in, he loves her. And he blesses her with children. And so history unfolds. And I just think that's just, whether you get it right, whether you get it wrong, a good woman knows her value and knows her worth, yes? And she knows that God loves her and treasures her even when she gets it wrong, even when she stuffs up and makes mistakes. Often her challenge is not thinking that God will forgive her, it's her forgiving herself. Can take a little bit of time. But because she knows her value and worth, she has self-respect. And because she knows that God has fearfully and wonderfully made her, she respects God who made her. And she knows that if she will pray and just keep walking forward with God, he will make a way for her. True? He will cause things to come back together again. He will bring a good outcome for her. And so then you're following the story, and Eve's great, 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 great granddaughter, whose name is Mary, is faced with an amazing choice as God presents an opportunity to her. She gets it right. She doesn't question. She doesn't fear. Well, she does actually, but the angel says, don't be afraid. So she's not afraid. But she gets it right. She trusts God and sees that he's got the bigger picture at hand. And she says, okay, God, I'll roll with your plan. I'll trust you because I respect you and I honor you and I feel so, so overwhelmed that you would choose me, your handmaiden, to see your plan unfold. Humility, beautiful humility. And so then Mary lifts up a son, the Savior of the world, and is just entirely blessed. Was it easy for her? Is it easy for any of us? No, we're still in the human race. But she had great confidence in God's plan for her life. So I think when then Mary died and went to heaven, she would have been running through the corridors of heaven shouting out, Eve, Eve, where are you? Where are you? And I think they would have done one of those big runs together and gave each other a huge high five. And we did it. We did it. We made a way for all mankind. Because, you know, Mary wouldn't have been there if Eve hadn't have continued on in faith and hope and trust. Is that right? And how much do we do that as women in our community? Some of us don't get it right. Some of us make mistakes. And then our girlfriends, our mums, our aunties pick us up and get around us and believe in us. We pick up our socks and we go, yep, let's not look behind. Isn't that what love does? It doesn't look back. It keeps looking forward. And something about mothers that's really beautiful is that they really like to make their children's futures look good. So I know as a mum, I've made mistakes. I haven't always got it right. And it can really knock you around, your confidence. It can really knock you around. You think, yeah, I'm just not up for this. My kids need more and I don't have it to give. Has anyone ever related to that? Yes? And so I said, well, Lord, the main point is a good mother makes her children's futures look good. So I can't fix it up right now, but I can dust myself down, pull my socks up, and walk on in life, living a great life that my children can look up to and respect. They mightn't get it just yet, but you watch. Wait and see. They will see a future and a hope in my life. Yeah? Yeah. So I think that God is so good, and I love this little saying. It's one of my favorite. Mothers tend not to give up easily on God, themselves, their men, their children, their communities, and their futures. So I think that's a good reminder for the 21st century, don't you think? Eve could have given up on Adam and not come to the party. You know, maybe his sin was that, you know, instead of stepping up and helping her think through this choice, he was so besotted by her beautiful, naked, womanly form that he couldn't think straight and didn't say anything when he was meant to say something. The men aren't laughing, sorry. But, and that's still a little bit of a challenge today too, isn't it? But hey, again, coming back to those thoughts, respect, humility, respect and love. And being humble before God and knowing that he has made us and he hasn't finished making us. When you popped out of your mother's womb, it wasn't the finished product, was it? He's still creating us. He's still teaching us what love is. And coming humbly before him and instead of worrying, praying for our children, knowing that when we can't be there, hey, you know what? God can. And family, isn't that why you're here cheering your mother on, Sue Ann? Isn't she amazing? She just never stops praying for you guys and loving you and supporting you, and they're all here to honour her for that. So many other women also. And I think respect looks a little bit like this. Growing up in my home, we didn't actually join all the dots church-wise. We sort of went at Christmas and Easter, but my dad and mum did pray. When things got tough, they did pray. In their own innocence, they did believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and they did pray. And so we saw amazing things happen over that time. And we hadn't joined all the dots. We weren't good churchgoers, but we had experienced God's faithfulness through prayer. And we understood his forgiveness through Jesus. And that was just so innocent and pure and magnificent in our family, to the point that we may have used a lot of other four-letter words in our family, ignorantly, but we never used the Lord's name in vain. And we never said the name of Jesus in vain. That was just like, how could you even think of doing that? And my father and mother were never, like, they didn't rouse on us or punish us. They would just hold their hearts and go, oh, no, you can't use that word like that. Our family would not be where it is if it wasn't for Jesus. You can't talk about him like that. And so growing up, I developed this, world, like, a holiness in my innocence, a holy reverence for the name of Jesus and praying to God. I couldn't read the Bible. I had dyslexia when I was younger, but I used to put the Bible under my pillow, you know. And I prayed and prayed and asked God to tell me to read, and he did. So I became great at reading thanks to prayer. So that taught me respect. I didn't understand everything, but my family, my mother and father, taught me to respect God and not be so arrogant as to think you know so much that you can be flippant with that name just because everyone else is. Don't get familiar with God. It just produces pride and arrogance, and it's not a good look. And then we wonder why we don't have confidence to pray and talk to him, because we've been bagging out that name all day. Sometimes I wonder if it's why men struggle to pray across our country, because they've been degrading that name all day long. Not you men. But it robs them of their spiritual authority. And if women do it, it robs them of their spiritual authority, because it's relational with Jesus. He's our friend. How good is God in our life? He's on our side. Good times, tough times, he's there with us in it all. And so that was profound. So by the time I was a teenager, I started to want to know about this Jesus, because in my heart there was respect. And so my desire to seek him out was perhaps a little different to people around me. And so I was able to develop a wonderful relationship with God, to this day has held me and our family strong and true. And that respect, it also goes to my father never allowing my brother and I to speak disrespectfully to our mother under any circumstances. They might go off and talk about it privately, but we were not to give lip to our mother. And our mother would not allow us to give lip to our father. We'll go and talk about it and calm down and come back and speak about that. That was just never, ever negotiable. So, you know, as kids we grew up thinking, we might think we know a lot in the moment, but our parents are reminding us we don't know everything. And have some respect. Yeah? And I think, you know, as a church community, that's just a little thing we can do, even in our families, extended families, not to be religious and tell people they're sinners and going to hell because they're using the Lord's name in vain. They just don't know him like we do. But it's just that beautiful, oh no, I can't use that name that way, sorry. I've seen too many miracles. I've seen so many amazing things happen when I pray in the name of Jesus. He's just, oh, sorry, I just can't do that. People have a, oh, wow, okay. That's a whole different deal. And to teach our children to have respect for their parents, their grandparents, to teach them to have respect for God, it builds their own self-esteem, doesn't it? Yeah. They are someone of worth. And I thought this was a great quote by Billy Graham when he says here, a child who is allowed to be disrespectful to his parents, his grandparents, his pastors, his teachers, list goes on, he will have no true respect for anyone. Because respect is foundational to understanding love, isn't it? When you feel of value, you tend to be more loving. When you know you are loved, you tend to stop and reflect that kind of grace and patience with other people. So there's just so many other things I could talk about. The meaning of respect, if you're ready. Ready? How are you going, everyone? This is like a warm and fuzzy but intentional message. Give you something to go home and put into practice. Mothers tend to do that, don't they? This is the dictionary meaning of respect. Due regard for the feelings, wishes or rights of others. Consideration, thoughtfulness and attentiveness. Really listening. Not being so preoccupied with your own conversation in your head, you can't just really listen to someone else. Respect is also known a feeling of deep admiration for someone or something, elicited by their abilities, qualities, and achievements. And sometimes we have to grow in that capacity to appreciate. It's funny how our parents know so much more that we're older than they seem to know when we were younger. And it's like, okay. But God is so good, and today on Mother's Day, I want to affirm you as being amazing people, an incredible community. And I see so much of that humility, respect, and love in your lives. And I see it growing, and I see you actually winning the love and respect of so many other people in the community because of the way you live your